Welcome, everybody, to the 91 podcast, where we're pumping out the highest rated automotive content. I'm joined, as always, with my two best friends and co-hosts, Raja Kumar.
What's going on, lovely people?
And Jonathan Lunn.
What's revving?
Okay, so this week we got an interesting topic, forbidden fruit. So we are all based in the United States here at the 91 podcast. And we thought, wouldn't it be fun to see what other manufacturers have around the world that maybe we would like to see here, if we could just bring it over without any repercussions. And be sure you tune in next week as well. We're going to be talking about a pretty interesting topic there. Modern muscle cars that will continue their heritage as time goes on. So we're in an era where V8s are dying, hybrids and turbos are rising. So what are some brand heritage style manufacturers or nameplates that you know of or and that we know of that we think will stay true to their name and their history as time marches forward? So that's what we got next week. I don't know. What do you guys think? Ready to get started?
Yeah, I guess yes, I'll go first.
All right. John, let's get into this pick.
So as you know, I love hatchbacks, right? I was wondering, can you guys guess what my pick was?
It's going to be a Renault.
A Renault.
Okay. Let me think. Hold on. Wait. Let me think. I don't know.
I know what it is. I just don't know the name.
All right. Roger almost had it. Yeah. I'm a wagon guy in the end. I love wagons. Right?
Okay.
So one car that we don't get here in the United States, even though we get one variant of it, is the RS4 Avant. Look at this. All right. So we do in the United States, we just got the RS6 Avant, right? The bigger daddy, the big wagon.
Yeah.
Right? That has like a twin turbo V8. But this right here, this I think is the best middle ground. It's smaller than the RS6, right? Yes. And it has... And I think this is just the perfect dimensions for a wagon.
She's not too big, thick.
Not too thick. Yeah, hell yeah.
Slim thick.
All right, so this car, I mean, just look at it. It looks great. Like, it doesn't have the oversized 22-inch wheels. I mean, I think they are like 20s, right? But they're still the same design for the RS. And this has the 2.9-liter twin-turbo V6, right? That makes 444 horsepower, 443 foot-pounds of torque. 0 to 62 miles per hour, right? And this is in European because, like, they do 0 to 100 kilometers.
Right.
So it's roughly 0 to 62 miles per hour. It has the quattro all-wheel drive. But the special thing about this engine, right, Audi's owned by VW. VW also owns Porsche. Yes. This is a Porsche-designed V6.
So, I didn't know that.
This is really special. I mean, honestly, just look at it. I'm just sad that we don't get the RS4 Avant, the wagon. I love wagons, man. Why do Americans have to hate wagons?
No, I'm surprised because I up until now, I thought we had the RS4, and to be honest, I always thought. Yeah, you had two options. You could either get the smaller wagon or the bigger one. But it does kind of make sense because most European cars that they make, the bigger versions end up coming to the U.S. because we always want the bigger cars.
Yep.
I can see how it fits in a U.S., quote-unquote, U.S. lifestyle. But I do agree. I think this is a much nicer proportion for a wagon. It makes sense to me, and that's news that it's a Porsche designed V6. And if it's anything like the one we have, which is what, the RS6 wagon or whatever, I think I would totally take this car.
I really like it too. It seems like it's that perfect size of a wagon. You know, the RS6 would be too big. Yes, it would probably feel great, but it might be unwieldy. And those twisties, I feel like this would handle really well. It's got a lot of interesting quirks about it too. It's kind of the perfect blend of VW, Audi, and Porsche, which is really, really cool. I like that cockpit. I would really love to push some miles on this car.
Yeah.
This is rad. I like this pick a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get it.
So, wow. No complaints then, I guess.
You just I went German this time. Let's go.
You know what? We can find a complaint. If it's German, you know what the problem is. The price.
Oh, okay.
How much does this thing cost?
$90,000.
Oh, what'd you say?
$90,000.
Oh, my God. So you're going to be – okay, let's be real. It said $90,000 on the website. That's $100,000 at a dealer.
Yeah, probably, honestly.
For a wagon. See?
All right, okay. Boys. I'm excited for this one. This really kind of breaks my heart that we can't get this, but let's see.
What was that?
I showed it for a second, but this is something that you guys could probably see me. This was an option.
I think. Wait. Oh,
and it's the 2020 Suzuki Jimny.
Wow!
I knew it. Sad. I knew it.
Surprise!
So sad that this isn't offered. It's a 2-door. This thing is so adorable. It's like the baby Yoda of the automotive world, in my opinion.
I agree. It looks like a baby Hummer / yes. Bronco.
Let's talk about it. It's a 1.5 liter inline four and gives you about 100 horsepower, 98 pound-feet of torque. Obviously, this car shines in the off-road realm. It's got a solid front and rear axle. It does not have a front or rear locker. But what it does have is kind of a torque vectoring suspension system that acts like a locker using your emergency brake. It's tried and true, offered in a 5-speed manual transmission. And it's also offered in an automatic transmission, which, funny enough, in the Mexican market, it's more for an automatic, as it should be. But it's got a short wheelbase. Obviously, it's really light, very nimble. The interior is very true to the original Jimny, also known in our market as a Samurai. And I did own an 87 Samurai for a little bit there. And it's just so refreshing to see this car back. And it's very true to its origins, to the Suzuki off-roaders that have come before it. I think it's a really good middle ground in terms of obviously having modern amenities and, you know, just having an all-out great off-roader that can kind of go anywhere because it's so small and light. And the best part about the 2020 Jimny is it's only about $20,000 US. And honest to God, I would daily this car because you can drive it to work. Very cool, probably handles nice. And then if you wanted to, you could take some back roads home and you could have a lot of fun with it off-road. And I just really wish that this car was offered in the US.
This has blown my mind because many of you probably don't even know what this car looks like. It looks like I said at the start, a combination of a baby Bronco with a baby Hummer, and you look at the rear end and the overall styling cues, it's kind of like a baby G-Wagon. And the interior is the same thing. It's kind of a baby G-Wagon. It doesn't look all gaudy and techy. It just looks real simple, to be honest. And the fact that it's a 5-speed manual with a short wheelbase, I don't know. It's one of those things that is dead. This doesn't exist anywhere else. You know, it's hard to find something like this. It's pretty much gone. I don't know. The only thing that comes to mind is the new Bronco, actually, that comes with the short wheelbase manual transmission. But I agree. If I could pick this up at $20,000, even if it was $25,000, this is something really cool. It's just really cool.
Just quickly before Jonathan goes, they did a promotion where I believe in Mexico they only had 1,000 for the first model year, which was the 2021, and they're all booked up. They sold that. So I would I just wish it was offered here. Jonathan, what do you have to say?
You know, I like this car. Like, shout out to Matt Watson out there if he's listening to this. Probably not. But I saw his video of him buying one, you know. He literally just went up, like, bought one with his, like, bank card, swiped his card, gone.
Wow.
It was really funny. But, yeah, honestly, this is such it's a neat little car. Nothing like this exists anymore. It's, what, 20 grand? What's the best you can get for 20 grand here? Like, what, like, Honda Civic base model?
Mitsubishi G4.
Yeah, something like that. This is a pretty cool car. They actually might, they probably actually, Roger, I don't know if you know this, but they actually might stop selling this in UK/Europe because it doesn't meet emission standards.
But they'll still sell it down south. And
believe me, I've thought of ways
to keep this.
If they brought it here, if Suzuki ever tries to sell cars here in America again with this car, it'll probably work out. I'm not gonna lie. It'll work out.
Or honestly, if they just brought this here as a side-by-side, something that you couldn't plate, but you could just have, you know, on your ranch or just as purely an off-roader, maybe charge, you know, less for it. Oh, it would be so cool.
What U.S. company is close to Suzuki right now? Toyota? Bring it as a Toyota.
Yes, please. Anybody, please.
The new FJ. The new FJ.
I don't know.
FJ or a baby Mazda. Varghese, what do you have for us?
I have something a little bit interesting, as always. Actually, no. It's cheaper than Jonathan's pick.
Oh, I set the bar really high. I mean,
I thought I was for sure going to do it again and come up with something that nobody can afford. But I think it's going to be interesting. So I went to France. One of the coolest cars that I thought had come out of there. The Alpine A1 Jet.
Oh.
I like it a lot. I think it looks gorgeous. I saw this car, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago when it first came out with this refreshed design. The original one, it's kind of like when Mercedes had that point where they switched from those circular headlights to the square ones, but they still kept the traditional front four. Those two little cylindrical lights that stick out. It's from like when this car used to have fog lights up there, like a rally car. I think it's just neat. It's small. It's got those oversized style tires. It's sleek. It puts you pretty much right on the road. Take a look at some of these stats. It's a four-cylinder turbo, 300 horsepower, 298 pound-feet of torque. But here's where it gets nice. It's a 7-speed dual clutch, and it's rear-wheel drive. So it's really, really, really fun to drive. It's French. It's kind of interesting. I think it just looks gorgeous. And the photo I'm showing you here, this is a Sport X version. So this is actually meant to take on, you can tell, kind of by with the ski racks on top and the skis. You're supposed to be able to take on the Alpines and go up for a weekend and, you know, maybe snowboard or ski or whatever. I just think it's a nice, cute, neat little package that packs a punch, and you can look good and classy while you're in it. And yeah, it costs 70 grand, but I think honestly for what this is, it's still overpriced, but it's just a little hair overpriced. I would be much more comfortable paying maybe 60 to 62,000 for this car. So I really don't think it's that bad.
Hold on. Before Jonathan goes into his analysis, if you squint your eyes and have approximately 1.5 glasses of wine, this looks like an S2000.
I'm trying it right now.
I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Slightly. Come on, guys. A little bit. Look at those headlights. Look at the shape.
When you throw in the wine part, yes, I could see it. I could see it. It's too tall in the photo I'm showing you.
Okay, all right. Yes, it's tall. But I'm talking about the headlights. Come on, look.
Yeah, I agree.
I remember S2000 headlights is different. I'm sorry.
But what do you guys think? I mean, do you guys think it's beautiful? Do you guys think it's ugly?
All right. I like this car. I'm going to say it out there. I like this car. This car is really good. But, all right, I just want you guys to think. All right, go back to the specs, Fergies. Four-cylinder turbo, 300 horsepower, 300 foot-pounds of torque, 7-speed dual clutch, rear-wheel drive, mid-engine.
Mm-hmm.
Where have I heard those specs before?
The Supra.
Does anybody remember the Alfa Romeo 4C?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I do. I like that one, too.
$70,000? What happened to that?
No. See, but that's the thing.
Yeah, I know.
But me out. I like that car, too.
I know. It's just that it probably won't do as well. It probably had the same fate, and it's unfortunate.
It really
is. It's like, you know, 70 grand, that's a lot for a tiny
I agree.
Four cylinder. But hey, it's Alpine. It's a heritage brand. I mean, come on, man. It's it looks like a rally car.
And look I mean, it's just really cool. I think it's really neat. And obviously this is one of those things that really plays up to what I like, where it's something that's not super flashy. It doesn't have a lot going on. But the few things that it does have going on is done really well.
Yeah.
This is, you know, like,
go ahead.
This is like not a Rolex, but this is like an Omega, I think. It's like really classy.
I could see that.
Really cool. You have to really appreciate it to love it. I like the pick. I respect it. I have never seen this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think it's pretty cool. And I think, you know, to have a heritage vehicle, like we're saying, you kind of have to pay that luxury, in my opinion.
And I think it's just neat to have something from France. You know, the only other thing that we really have there is, other than Renault, is
stop
is, Bugatti, and that's a dream car that's out of everybody's price range, except maybe Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm.
Well, man, we have Citroën, we have Peugeot.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want a Peugeot. That's what I want. Peugeot? A Citroën. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Wait. Before you say anything, man, look at this car. It just reminded me of another forbidden fruit that I probably would have picked over my wagon.
Which is what?
The Honda Beat.
Oh, I saw that.
Dude, I should have picked that.
What's that Honda, the new, the E-City?
The Honda E.
Right.
The electric
that
one.
Would be cool.
Oh, that would be
retro
good, too.
Retro style there?
That would be so cool.
Lots of interesting picks.
Varghese. From the three that we mentioned today, which would you choose?
The Suzuki. Not a hard question, Raja. Not a hard question at all. 5-speed manual, 1.5-liter 4-cylinder. It's a very simple off-roader. And I don't know. For me, it's not hard to appreciate. It's very easy to appreciate something like that because it just doesn't exist. It's one of those things that will just work.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Lund, what would you choose?
You know, for once, we might have a unanimous decision because I would also pick the Suzuki if it was out of G3.
Whoa! Yes.
But if I had to change it from outside, dude, I would do the Honda Beat. Just reminded me of it. But I would pick the Suzuki out of G3. The Suzuki sounds like a fun car to have just for, you know, going to the local desert or something.
Yeah.
I would pick the Suzuki, obviously. It just, for 20 and what you're getting, you can't beat that. That's probably what it must have felt like to buy a new Suzuki in the 80s.
I agree.
I wish that I could have that opportunity. I will get one of these, and I'll figure out how to keep it in this country.
25 years. Just got to wait 25 years.
No, I'm getting it new. I want a new one. It's so cool.
Yeah, new. And then it'll just be on a backyard ranch somewhere.
Yep.
Hanging out. Nobody needs to know. Well, those are our three picks. What are your guys? There's a world of different, interesting, exotic car brands out there that we don't get out here in North America. Let us know, Raja, what are the Instagram and Twitter handles they can use?
Our handles are 91_podcast. Feel free to interact with us on those socials. If you're busy, you can catch us on the go at anchor.fm. You can also listen to us on Spotify. Again, just switch it over to podcasts and search up 91_podcast. I don't think you have to include the underscore, actually. I think you can just go ahead and go 91podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of different episodes now. I think almost about 12. We just did a little pit stop, which if you don't know what that is, go find out.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. How about you, John? Want to go ahead and wrap us out?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for tuning us with us. Thanks for I can't say my words anymore.
He's backfiring.
I'm backfiring.
Tune him up.
Thanks for joining with us today. Stay tuned for next time. Our next topic is muscle cars that
will maintain their heritage moving forward.
That, and we'll catch you at the pump next time.
See ya.